Hello, this is T.L. Osborne speaking. This audio cassette you're about to hear is a rare piece of miracle history. It's the recording of one of our messages, which we preached during our great crusade under the 5,000-seat Big Top in Scranton, Pennsylvania. It's truly a healing crusade classic cassette. This crusade was conducted back in the summer of 1950. We acquired this big old tent and the wooden benches to seat over 5,000 people from a circus company. We set that old tent up across Pennsylvania in the cities of Harrisburg, the capital, in Altoona, in Hazleton, and in Scranton, where this particular message was preached. Then we wanted to help reach the Latin people in the southwest of our nation, so we took the Big Top to the city of San Antonio, Texas, to set it up on a big open field along an important thoroughfare. But before we could get the old Big Top erected, some enemies of the gospel went out there and poured gasoline all over it and burned it up. All that remained was the ashes. It was a real shock to us. But then we got to thinking, our call's not to America anyway. Our call is to the regions beyond, to the unreached all over the world. So, you know, something good, very good, came out of that misfortune. You know, God works all things together for the good of those who are the called according to His purpose. Daisy and I made our resolve right then and there that we would continue our ministry overseas and not try any more to focus on the home front. But that wasn't all. Fortunately, we had only unloaded the Big Top onto the ground. All of the sound equipment and the benches and lighting equipment was still in the other truck and van. So we said, we'll make the devil pay for burning up this beautiful old tent. So we just stayed right there on that big field. We set up all the benches for over 5,000 people. We dug holes for poles and strung the lights across that field. And we erected the big platform and public address system and got ready to begin the crusade. People were sympathetic toward us because of the misfortune of the burning of our tent. So big crowds came to see what would happen. That San Antonio crusade became a renowned milestone in the history of gospel evangelism in that historic city. Thousands of people jammed the place every night, and we had one of the most exciting crusades of our lives in the United States. Thousands of people were blessed and healed, and San Antonio was never the same again. Then, just to make the devil suffer more for burning our tent, we went from there to the city of El Paso, Texas, just across the border from Ciudad Juarez, and held another historic open-air miracle gospel crusade. We stayed there and preached night after night for a whole month. Thousands came across from Mexico and were saved and healed, besides the great crowds that came from El Paso and the surrounding areas. And then from there, we took that same equipment that was left over from the fire and set it up in East Los Angeles, in the middle of the largest Latin American area, and we kept that big open-air crusade going for over 3 weeks. By that time, we knew the weather was good in the tropics, so we dispersed the benches and the equipment to others who could use it. We sold the trucks and vans, and we were on our way abroad again. We had whipped the devil on our own grounds, and we felt free to go back overseas where the call of God was so heavy on our hearts. That was the end of our tent ministry in the United States. We resolved then and there in San Antonio, Texas, that we would never invest in another Big Top, but that we would always use God's open skies for our canopy and the fields for our auditoriums. And we've been glad ever since for that resolve. But you can see why I say that this recording of our ministry under the Big Top in Scranton, Pennsylvania, back in 1950, is a real piece of miracle history in the USA. It's a real classic recording. almost no one had attempted to conduct big public miracle healing meetings in the northeastern states at that time. Many of the preachers who later became well-known evangelists, like our beloved friend, Reverend R.W. Schambach, received their calls during those tent crusades we conducted in Pennsylvania back in the 50s. I don't know why we were attracted to that area. Perhaps it was because there were some little churches up in Pennsylvania and New York State who had helped us on our first missionary journey back in 1945 when we went to India as such tender young missionaries. Anyway, we bought that old big top, and the crusade in Scranton was one of the largest of our tent campaigns. It was packed night after night. Some very unusual things happened during those meetings at Scranton. Hundreds and hundreds of precious Amish and Mennonite people attended. They were absolutely captured by our preaching, and some way God gave us favor with them. After the preaching and after the prayers for the thousands who accepted Christ, we often had so many sick people coming that Daisy and I each took a line of sick people to pray for, she at one end of the platform and me at the other. And as they'd come to us, we'd lay our hands on them and pray for them, and so that everyone could see what was happening right as it took place. Then those who were instantly healed would go to the middle of the stage and give their witness over the microphones so that the people would know what God had done. Those precious Amish and Mennonite people came with such great faith. It was amazing how they were healed right before the people as we prayed for them. Many of those who are still alive are our personal friends yet today. Another unusual thing happened in Scranton. Some way, the gypsies of the eastern seaboard of the nation heard about that tent meeting. You know, gypsies love tents, and I suppose they could feel at home in a tent meeting. As I said, almost no one had attempted to conduct gospel miracle healing meetings in that whole area. So when word passed among the gypsies of those states that a huge tent was up and that God was doing miracles, they started coming. Well, it seemed that as fast as they came and brought needy people, God would heal them miraculously. And they'd go back, and more excitement would spread among their people. Crowds of over 600 gypsies at a time converged on those tent meetings in Scranton. It wasn't exactly easy to handle them either, because the townspeople were suspicious of them. They thought they were coming to steal and tell fortunes and be a general nuisance in the city while they were there. Of course, this was all bigoted and prejudiced talk and unfounded rumors. Their culture was different, and they didn't understand some things, which made it awkward at times, but they just wanted whatever God had for them. For example, they would come in where our big book table was spread. Of course, we would cover it with a cloth between meetings. Well, the gypsies found it, and they took the books. They loved them, and those who could read would read them to others. They meant no harm. They thought they were free, and we didn't have the heart to tell them that they weren't free. Some of the pastors got pretty upset, but Daisy and I told them, let it happen. If they took the books, it's okay, because it'll help us to get more truth into them. One of the most precious miracles God did was for a little gypsy child brought by his young mother. He was born with terribly clubbed feet. The doctors had operated to do what little they could in those days, which wasn't very much, and they encased the baby's feet in big plaster Paris casts with steel rods to hold them together. When we laid our hands on those little feet, that young mother and father absolutely believed that God had healed their child. They just sat down right there, and he methodically pulled out his big pocket knife and, with the help of his little wife, proceeded to cut those casts off their baby's feet. Then they jubilantly brought the child to us and held it up before the people. Both of his little feet were just as perfect as they could be. Well, I could tell you so much about those meetings. Actually, it wasn't much different than it is in our meetings overseas today. It's wonderful to know, isn't it, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ask anyone in the Scranton, Pennsylvania area about those great meetings under the Osborne Big Top back in 1950. Those who are still alive from that time will remember with great joy the triumphs of faith we all witnessed in that city. And let me emphasize to you that we're still witnessing those same signs and miracles and wonders of our Lord wherever we proclaim the gospel of Christ out there in areas where so many have not known him before. During one of our most recent crusades in Hyderabad, India, which we conducted during our 50th golden anniversary year of marriage and ministry, in that crusade, we witnessed again the same things as we witnessed throughout over 50 marvelous years of ministry. This year, this very year, we're preparing for ministry next in the southeastern Asian nation of Malaysia, in the city of Kuala Lumpur. Then we'll minister day after day, both morning and night, in a big camp meeting in the heart of England. Then it's on to Sweden. After that, it's France again. Right now, we're projecting the possibility of big crusades and mass teaching seminars in 7 Latin American nations. Also, we're laying groundwork right now for another great crusade in India as soon as the Hindu-Muslim conflict settles down a bit. Plus, so many other vital areas like Ivory Coast, the Caribbean, and believe me, we're staying at full alert about China. That door is going to open, we believe, and it's going to be one of the greatest soul harvests in the history of the world. Believe for that. Well, I felt you would value me sharing these things about our early tent ministry in the United States, and that it would help you to value this audio cassette from that meeting. As I said before, it's truly a Healing Crusade classic cassette. By the way, this might be difficult for you to believe, but we have almost no recordings of all of those great meetings we conducted across America. We just didn't bother to record them. This one that we're sharing with you is one that was recently sent to us by a friend, which we appreciate so very much. I say that because you might know relatives or friends who have recordings of some of our meetings from those early days. If you do, we would be very grateful to acquire copies for our collection. We'd like to share them with others. Now, as we take you to the great Scranton, Pennsylvania Tent Crusade from 1950, I trust that you'll be blessed in a special way as you hear us preaching some of the truly classic fundamentals of healing faith, which were so new to the people then, but which are so basic yet today. We regret that the sound is pretty poor, but I know you'll enter the spirit of that great meeting and not let the inferior sound quality keep you from being blessed afresh today. God bless you now as we go to the pulpit in Scranton, Pennsylvania, 1950, under the Big Top.
Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And now I think it would be good if you'd underline those two words, teaching and preaching. Jesus was a teacher. He was a preacher. He didn't just run around laying his hands on people and blessing them everywhere. People got the idea of him running around with the light around him, you know, and touching this one, blessing this one, touching this one, blessing this one. The master was a preacher, a teacher. He preached the word. He taught the word. He met the devil. He said, devil, the Bible says thus and so. Not the Bible, but it is written so and so. Is that right? He stood up in Capernaum, the crowd gathered, and he preached the word unto them. And I found one of the most interesting scriptures the other day. The power of the Lord was present to him. Talk about people getting healed while you preach. That was done in Jesus' time. Now, verse sermon up so they can get healed. I will say, I want them to hurry up and get healed so I can wind my sermon up.
Hallelujah.
Jesus was teaching, his power was present to heal. As he was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils. That's the kind of meetings I like, when you bring people that's sick and tormented and possessed with devils and dumb and deaf and blind and crippled and everything. That's where you can see God work. And those which were lunatic and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. I pray to God that every man and woman and boy and girl here tonight that's sick or that's oppressed or that's needy, whatever your need is, I believe God that every one of you can have what you want this night. Well, the first thing that you need to get straight, if you're going to come tonight and expect to be healed, is that the day of miracles is not past, and that healing is as much a part of the ministry of Christ today as it ever was. That's a fundamental in faith. And I want to talk to you tonight about some fundamentals in faith. There's five scriptural reasons in the Bible how that you can be positive that the day of miracles is not past, and that it's as much God's will to heal the sick today as it ever was. Number one, God is a healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And God has never changed. I am the Lord, I change not. If God ever in history healed a sick man, he'll heal a sick man today just the same. Otherwise, he would have changed. I don't believe he's changed, do you? The second reason that you can know that healing is for day as much as ever, Jesus Christ healed the sick. And the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he ever healed a sick man, he'll heal a sick man tonight. Bible, repeatedly, he healed them all. He's never changed. His will has never changed. What he did in the Gospels, it was his will to do. He came to do the will of God. Everything that Jesus did in Galilee, he was acting out the will of God on earth. And when he healed every one of them, he was demonstrating that it was God's will them to be healed. Is that right? If it was his will then to heal all, it's his will tonight to heal all. Never in the Gospels is there any mention of anybody suffering for disciplinary purposes. The Gospel is a full unveiling of God's will manifested in Jesus Christ. Jesus came for the explicit purpose of unveiling the will of God in action. Everything he did while he was on earth, he was unveiling God's will. He was showing what the will of God is on earth. That was the ministry of Christ. Therefore, if you ever want a revelation of what God's will is, see that you read the gospel. Many people have prayed for years trying to ascertain the will of God in a matter and have never read the will of God here. God's word is God's will. God's promise is God's will. The ministry of Jesus is God's will. If you want to know God's will, see what Jesus did. If you want to know God's will, read God's will. This is the new English word. Will is a more modern English word that we use today. It's the same thing. So if you want to know what is God's will, read God's will. Imagine a woman, the wife of a rich man. He dies. She comes around crying. She has no money. She says, I don't know what to do. My husband was rich, but I don't know if he left me anything or not. I'd say, sister dear, have you read his will? She would brighten up like she'd say, Brother Osborne, I never thought of that. Well, say, let's forget the will and read it. We read it, and lo, her husband left her everything. Immediately, her countenance changed. Her outlook is different. Her attitude's different. The will showed her that everything belonged to her. That's what God's word is to us. It's God's will. We don't have to wonder what God's will is in a matter when it's contained in the word of God. Whatever God promised to do, that's his will to do. You don't have to pray, Lord, do something if it's your will to do it, when it's something he promised to do. Because the thing he promised to do is his will to do. And the reason he promised it and have the Holy Ghost move on holy men to write it down was so you can have a written copy of his precise will that he left for you. And that makes me happy when I think of that. Therefore, we know it's his will to save you because it's written in the will. We know it's his will to heal you because it's written in the will. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's his will to deliver you because it's written in the will. We know it's his will to cast out devils because it's written in the will. We know it's his will to protect you from any harm or any danger because that's part of the will. We know it's his will to provide for your needs because it's written in the will. And that's why I've got faith for the needs of this ministry. It's in the will. It couldn't be in the will if it didn't want to do it. It's in the will. The will's mine. Everything he's got's mine. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills. Glory to the Lord. And therefore, there's no problem about it. Perfect faith can exist when it rests on thus saith the will of God. Now, the third reason that you can know that healing is as much for today as it ever was. The disciples of the Lord were commissioned and commanded to heal the sick. The disciples healed the sick. A true disciple of Jesus Christ has never changed, because Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. All right. Then the man that continues in the word of God is a disciple. A disciple's never changed. If disciples were given power in that day to lay their hands on the sick and make them recover, if they were given authority over all devils and to cast them out, a disciple has that authority today. I'll never forget what took place in my life in Portland, Oregon, when I realized that. William Branham came to the auditorium. I sat in the third balcony. I saw him preach. Then I saw him cast out devils. It seemed like a thousand voices circled around my head and said, you can do that. You can do that. You couldn't do this other, but you can do that. That's what Jesus did. That's what Peter did. That's what Paul did. That proves the Bible way is the way for today. You can do that. My soul got so hot and so big in me, I knew I could do that. My eyes were fountains of tears. I knew I could do that. I went back to my church. I told them I can do that. I began to read God's word. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll read it as though I never read it before. Everything that you say you'll do, I'll expect you to do it. Everything you tell me I can do, I'm going to do it. If you say I can cast devils out, I'm going to go cast them out. If you say you'll heal the sick, you're going to heal the He says Jesus is mine.
Another reason I know healing is just as much for today as it ever was is because the early church cast out devils, healed the sick, blessed the needy. It was a very prominent part of the ministry of the early church to minister to the sick. Study your book of Acts. It's full of healing. Healing, I don't know. How any church could claim to be fundamental and not believe in healing, I don't know. How anybody could claim to be a preacher and not believe in healing, I don't know. The book of Acts and the Gospels is full of it. I tell you, the church has never changed. It's going to be this way till Jesus comes. This old worn out threadbare idea that miracles stopped when Jesus went to heaven, or that they stopped being when the apostles all died, is to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Why? To back it up and to confirm it. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming their word with the word, with signs following. Jesus said, go, teach all nations. He commanded that, go to all the world, to every nation, preach it to every creature unto the end of the world. You're one of the creatures, and the end of the world hasn't come yet. So it's all in force now. When he said, go to all the world, he said, cast out devils in my name. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Speak with new tongues. And snakes bite you, it won't hurt you. If the poison, you won't die. So the end of the world. The end of the world hasn't come yet, so it's still in force. That's why I know healing's as much a part of the ministry today as it ever was. The fifth reason that I know that it's God's will to heal the sick today, and that healing's as much a part of the ministry today as it ever was, Jesus commissioned all believers to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All believers. Someone said, Brother Osmond, do you have to have the gifts of healing to pray for the sick to get them healed? I said, of course not. Jesus said, all signs shall follow them. Don't take the gift of healing to pray and expect an answer, does it? Never. Anybody can do that. All believers. And believers have never changed. He that believeth on me. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Step number one to get healing from God is to know that the age of miracles is not past, to believe that healing is as much a part of Christ's ministry today as it ever was. You believe that tonight? That's the first basic step for you. The next step is this. You've got to know God's promises and know that they are made personally to you as though you were the only person in the whole world and God was talking to you. God's word is God's voice. A lot of folks are praying and trying to get God to talk to them, never reading the word of God. No use to pray to get God to say something to you from heaven when God's written your whole book of it here and you're not paying no attention to that. What God says in here is a personal letter to me. If I want to hear God talk, I don't close my eyes and try to imagine I'm hearing a voice. I open the word and read it and let him talk to my soul. So didn't God ever say anything to you any other way? Yes. But it always was what was said in here anyhow. If he said anything else, then I'd believe it was a lying spirit. Wouldn't you? Don't tell me God's going to come along and unveil something to you that's not in the Word. That's not very sound. Thus saith the Word of God. God has given us an unveiling of His person and His Word. Praise the Lord, His plan for us is here. A lot of people have never come to that place. That's why they're always in a state of confusion. They always imagine they're hearing voices and God's talking to them and God showed them this and God showed them that and God didn't do no such of a thing. Amen. God's not going to show you nothing that's not in the Word. He may talk to you. I believe that. He's talked to me, spoken to me other ways. that don't read the Bible that hear them voices. I said if you want something from God, the second step after you know that God's miracle haven't ceased, that's the first thing. No use to even pray if you believe that. These churches crying around, whining around the day of miracles past, I don't know why in the world they have prayer meetings. Any prayer that you pray and get an answer, that's a miracle. From the difference in them, they even pray for the sick. That's what always tickles me. They'll go around the old dry pastors and make their rounds to the hospitals and pray for their flock, you know. And we come right behind them and pray and get an answer, and they get mad and say, we're the devil. They put him out of the church when he said it too. I'd rather pray and get an answer, wouldn't you? So after that first step, knowing that the day of miracles isn't past, but the next step is to know that this word is for you personally. The greatest error committed by man today and by theologians too is treating this book as though it were a common book. This is a book with life in it. The life of God is in this book. This is a God indwelt book. They are spirit and they are life, the Lord says. When we read this word, we have a conversation with the Master, the Creator. Ah, how I love to talk with him. I pray a while and tell him what I need, then I stop and read the word a while and let him talk back to me. What a time of communion we have. Oh, God can get so real to you that way. And you walk around with God in you. You become God inside conscious. And God becomes a companion to you. You and God are one because God's word is given its proper place in your life. You can never attain a place of confidence with God as long as you treat this like a common book. You've got to treat this. This is a distinguished book. This is the book with God in it. This is God's book. This is God's law, God's word. This is a record of the will of Jesus Christ. He's given us to inherit everything that he provided, all the eternal riches and treasures that he had with the Father from the foundation of the world. He's given them to us to inherit and included them in his will. And you and I are permitted to come and sit as kings and priests with him and dine at the table of the Lord and become an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you and your brother fall joint heirs to $100, that don't mean you get 50 and he gets 50. That's not joint heirship. Joint heirship is you both inherit the same $100. Paul tells us we become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. It's not he's got some power and we've got some power. He's got a whole lot, we've got a little bit. He's got a lot of it, we've got a little touch of it. Not on your life. Him and me have fallen joint heirs to the same power, the same virtue, the same blessing, the same life, the same salvation, the same resurrection. Everything we have is ours.
put ETH on the end of words. That's an old 16th century English word. There's only one way to put that in our staff English today. I am the Lord and I am healing you now. I am the Lord who healeth thee. That means I am Jehovah. I am healing you now. Everything from God's going on right now. God's saving you right now. God's healing you right now. His eternal life is flowing right now. Just like your blood's circulating right now. God's divine life circulating right now. And his life's in me. Because the Bible says that the life of Jesus also might be manifest in our mortal flesh. That's divine health. That's not divine healing. That's health. The life of Jesus manifested in your mortal flesh. It's flowing right now. The current's on right now. And just like that electric current's going all the time, the motor's rolling. Anytime you plug in, it works. It's there. So it is with God's healing, God's salvation, God's deliverance. God is saving us right now. God is healing us right now. God is our salvation right now. Right now, God is your deliverer. What are you waiting on? How in the world can the devil stand there and keep you sick if God is your healer right now? If you believe divine life from God is greater than the devil's disease, then the devil's disease will disappear and divine life will take its place. Whatever you believe in is what dominates you. If you believe in the devil, he'll dominate you. If you believe he's as strong and mean and scary, he'll scare you and be mean to you and torment you. But I believe God is my deliverer. He's my shepherd, and angels stand around my house. That's what God wants us to have. Faith right now that he's what he says he is. Oh, I like to look the devil between the horns and laugh at him. Say, but you're done. You're finished. Because it's written that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He's triumphed over you. He's made a show of you openly. We're the conquerors. And in Jesus' name we can cast you out. Because it's written, we've been given all power and authority over all devils. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's God's word. God's word is yours. It's in force right now. Just right now, exactly right now. Listen, folks. When we start talking about God being present right now, concerned about his people, that's a big subject. Put your confidence in God, that God's word is yea and amen. There's a woman up there in Altoona, Pennsylvania, body in an ambulance with her knee all crushed, twisted around, her ankle crushed, couldn't set it at all, the bones all splintered up and broken, was drawn up and twisted around to the side, the knee all crushed over there. No bother with that, it was all swollen, they was going to have to amputate it. When she heard about the meeting and hired the ambulance and the nurse to bring her, they brought that big old leg in a sack, and a white sack was all swollen up, laying on big white pillows, and she was in agony. She was a wonderful person. She sat there in that old tent that night and listened to the gospel. Believed it. Listened to it intently. I went right down the line showing our redemption, showing how that what Jesus did at the cross we don't have to do. He bore our pains so we don't have to bear them. He bore our sickness so we don't have to bear them. He bore our sins so we don't have to bear them. What he did we don't have to do. He did it so we're free from it. Right now we believe it and he makes it good. The minute we believe it, it's done. Hallelujah. The very second that we agree with God, it's God's business to send his power and create what his word declares. Hallelujah. That's God's way, folks. She sat there with tears running down her face. She forgot about her leg and she was taken up with the power of the gospel and the word of God. And she believed that God's word was equal to produce what it promised. Praise the Lord. We went down praying for some of the people. God was doing several wonderful things. When I come over to her case, I said, well, lady, your turn's next. And she was crying. She looked up. She said, Brother Osmond, I believe God's already doing something. I looked there and I saw she's happy. She started to explain to me about her leg and tell me about how bad it was. And she looked down her foot and instead of it laying over to the side, it was laying up there straight.
And she got real happy. She went to tell him, and she walked down and said, look, it's up straight. I didn't know what she found out. I found out later. And she started to move it. She said, oh, brother Alvin, look, look. I said, sister, God's already working on you. You don't need no prayer. All you need to do is just start using this leg. She started moving it a little bit, and every time she moved it, it wouldn't hurt her. And she could move it more, and it wouldn't hurt her. I said, why don't you get up and use it good? And she swung around cautiously at first, around on the sand. Her leg bent down. It didn't hurt. No pain. And it hit the ground square and still didn't hurt. And she was getting happier and happier, and she stood up on her leg, and that leg was as good as the other one. And she stood up on it, no pain. It was healed. When the nurse saw her stand up, she cried, my God, she's healed. And over the top, she went. But the woman was healed. Look, she never did know when it took place. She never did know when that leg was healed, when those bones were set, when that leg straightened up, when that crushed knee went back in place. But God's word produced what it talked about. Folks, God's word is real. And the word of God tells us that God is now our deliverer, and that Jesus has already taken away our sins, taken away our diseases, taken away our pains. How in the world can we have them if he took them? We can't have them if he took them. What are we supposed to do? Change our confession. Change our believing. Believe what the Bible says instead of what the pain says. The pain says you're sick. The word says you're healed. Believe the word. Rebuke the pain. Hallelujah. Change your confession. Instead of saying I hurt, confess what God says. I'm healed. Change your thinking. In your mind you feel the pain. You think you're sick. But in God's word it says you're healed. Think you're well. Change your thinking according to God's word. Change your speaking according to God's word. Change your faith, your believing according to God's word. And change your action according to God's word. The pain says you're hurt, so you act your faith and take the pill to ease the pain. God's word says you're healed. When the pain hurts, instead of taking the pill, you take the gospel and shout and get up and walk. Glory to God, and you're well. That's what faith is. Going against symptoms, against feelings, against those things, and going exclusively by what God's word says, and not budging a red inch until the devil gives up and you're set free. Right now, God's word produces what it talks about. You don't have to wait on it. It's right now in action. When you believe it and agree with it, God watches over his words to perform them, and he begins his operation to make you ever whole. We're preaching out there in El Paso, Texas. A poor old man was brought in there by his two sons. You talk about a cripple, he was a cripple. I felt so sorry for him. In 6 years, he hadn't sat down. His body was stripped with arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, that real painful arthritis that swells and inflames the joints. Oh, it's agony. And he had let himself deform in a stoop position so that he could hang his hips on a box or something and rest a little bit that way, and just had a little bit of movement in here, and his hands were down here and he couldn't get them up to his mouth. His head was bent over. That's where he came. Didn't know Christ. Came to me, and they put a box on the bumper of the cars in the open air and hung his hips over that box so he could sit there and turn his eyes up and listen like that. Oh, fell in agony like that. But without Christ, he come and listened, hung on every word that we preached that night. That night we preached on the power of the gospel, what Jesus accomplished for every creature at the cross. And went right down the line. He bore our sins so we don't have to, bore our pain so we don't have to, bore our sickness so we don't have to. Everything he did, we don't have to do. He did it so we could be free. Since he's done it, we're free now. We don't ever have to do it because he's already done it. All we have to do is praise the Lord, accept Jesus, and he makes it good. I went right down the line on that. Oh, that old man said that was good news to him. When the time came for prayer, for all those
started to cry again. And he looked and he rubbed his arm and said, that didn't hurt. And then I began to realize. And he began to tell his story. And I tell you, he said when he came that night, his legs, he had to pull his overalls up over his knees. They were so swollen. He had to pull them up over his knees to get them up. They were so swollen, that rheumatoid arthritis. And I'll tell you, he was so happy. And he told me his wrists were swollen. Just look, it's all gone. And I said, Dad, sit down there on the edge of the platform, pull up your breech leg, I want to see. And he imagined he couldn't sit down. And when he went to sit down, he looked up and smiled, the sweetest smile. He says, look at that. And he'd get up again, he'd sit down again. Folks, look, it's the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to everyone that believes. The good news. And God's power to do that is here. To do is tune in, plug in, agree, confess what God's word says, believe what God's word says, act like God's word says, get in harmony with the word of God. That puts God into harmony with your life. And all the works of the devil have to leave. He'll do it for you tonight.
I'm T.L. Osborne again. You've just heard a recording of our preaching back in 1950 under the Big Top in Scranton, Pennsylvania. We trust that you've been richly blessed today, and we hope you'll write us and share with us what the Lord has done for you and how you've been inspired or helped. Also, if you know anyone who might have recordings of any of our meetings back in the 1950s, we'd be so very grateful if you could help us acquire copies of them. Remember, we'd be glad to send you information about our books, teaching cassettes, videos, and Bible courses. They can be a great blessing to you and to your friends or acquaintances. They make wonderful tools for your own outreaches of witnessing and ministry to others. All the address you need is just T.L. or Daisy Osborne, Box 10, Tulsa, Oklahoma, USA 74102.